Thank you, Robin. Thank you, John. Thank you, Ron, for reading, for praying for us, for me. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This is a long chapter, and we're taking our time. We've been through this before. We've been through some books more than once. And taking our time. There's no hurry, is it? There's so much here. If you've been able to enter into it, chapter 1 is just amazing. This is a story of a man named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And Zechariah was a priest, as you know, and his wife was also a daughter of Aaron. They were two believers. They were two children of God, two saints. Zechariah and Elizabeth, their hope, their great hope, their one great desire. Their desire was about to be realized. Not a child. They had long since given up hope of having a child. I just am sure that having a child, it's like one of you ladies in your 60s, you don't want to think about that, do you? But now Zechariah, he was waiting on a child, all right. In the next chapter is an old man named Simeon. They brought a child to him. I can't wait to get to that. But this is just as good. Zechariah and his wife, they were hoping, they were waiting for the kingdom of God and his dear Christ. That's what they wanted. That's what they hoped for more than anything else. That was their great desire. And it's the desire of God's people. He's the desire of all nations. Christ. He's the one great desire. David said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none on earth I desire beside thee." He said, "One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after." So this is what they were waiting on. They were waiting on Christ. They were waiting on His kingdom. Salvation, redemption. It's about to be realized. They heard the good news. They heard the report. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then it goes into Isaiah 53. Long chapter full of promises, blessing, hope, comfort, consolation. And there's not one mention of one material thing. And it talks about the consolation of Israel, the hope of God's people, the joy and the rejoicing. People rejoice. It's going to be great joy. What over what? Not one material thing is mentioned. Isn't that all people think about today? When they think of blessings? That's not the blessing. That's not what God's people seek after. Here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Got any bowels? Any mercy? According as He hath chosen us. That, get any feeling out of you? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated it. How does that make you feel? You like that word? An adoption of children to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. Zechariah is going to talk about redemption. Anna, the prophetess, is in the next chapter. She's going to speak of redemption to those that need it, to those that don't have any redeeming quality. Redeem means to pay for. To those who can't pay for their sins, that can't undo what they've done, that can't make up for what they've done. When they hear about this, somebody's going to redeem you from all that. You know, He's going to pay the price. He's going to redeem you. To those in captivity. And I'm way ahead of myself here. But I couldn't wait to get to that. That hurt, make your heart flutter a little bit. This old man and his wife are about to have a son. Yet over and above the son, in his preaching, in his prophecy, in his prayer to the Lord, he doesn't even mention that boy till way on down the line. Like Hannah, her prayer, she received a son, Samuel, but in her prayer, she doesn't even mention him. Like Mary, the virgin, when she heard, she doesn't even mention. She talks about her salvation. The Lord being merciful to her. Not the fact she's going to be a mother. All right, look at verse 59. It came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise a child. They called him Zechariah after the name of his father. His mother answered, said, not so. No. He shall be called John. John means favorite of the Lord. He shall be called John. They said, none of your kinfolk named that. Nobody in your family's named that John. Why are you going to name him that? Because this ain't about my kinfolk. This ain't about my family. It's not about my name. I don't want this child bearing my name, his father's name. I want him bearing the name of the Lord. Oh no, it's not about us. It's about him. Not our name. George Whitfield said, let the name of George Whitfield perish from the earth. Let the name of Jesus Christ be praised. John, filled with the Spirit. John, greater woman, man born of woman, never. They came and said, what's your name? He said, the voice. My name. No, his name. His name. It's not about us. She said, his name shall be called. They came to Zechariah and said, his name is John. Well, call him John. Verse 62 and 3. And made signs to his father how he would have him called. I want him called John too. But this is what the Lord said. The Lord named him. The Lord's the one that gave him the name. That's who we want to call our children. That's who we want to name our children. We want them to be called, not my son, but his son. The Son of God. John said, his name's John. And they marveled. They marveled. Call his name John, favorite of God. Oh, Lord, show favor on our children, our grandchildren, on us. We want to bear your name. Christian, Son of God. We're sons of Adam, all right. And we bear his sin. We want to be a son of God and bear his righteousness. Verse 64, it says, as soon as he wrote that, his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loose and he spake and praised God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. At you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His mouth was filled with praise. First thing that happened to him when life was revealed, shut his mouth. He didn't believe it. Don't believe that. Okay, well, shut your mouth. And now when life is born, it opened his mouth. Isn't that us? When the Lord first deals with us, creates life. Born of God. The first thing we do, I'm going to put my hand on my mouth, not going to say anything. I'm just a sinner. Nothing but cursing and bitterness has come out of this mouth all those previous days. Now I'm just going to shut my mouth and listen. But boy, then when life is born again, you'll open that mouth. And you'll sing. You'll sing. Verse 65, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. Fear. Oh, would to God that fear would fill this place. Every person in here. All. Would to God he'd put fear of the Lord in our children. Everyone of our children. Would to God that you'd start right today fearing the Lord. If you did, that's the beginning of salvation. That's when it began. I look around me. I see no fear of God. I see some in here, but I mean out there. But in the face of the sun in here already, I don't.
Lord help us. Fill us with thy fear. Unite my heart, David said, to fear thy name. You know what that means. You have any understanding? By fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord, they call on Christ. They come to Christ. But it was all noised abroad. In verse 66, it says, they heard, all they that heard laid this up in their heart and saying, what manner of child shall this be? Not a question. What manner of child shall this be? This must be a special child. Here's how special he was. The hand of the Lord was with him. He's already got the name. God's favored him. God showed favor to Zechariah. God showed favor to Elizabeth. God showed favor to Mary, to Joseph. God's shown favor to me. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should become the favorite of God. John, go show John again. The Lord's named you. The Lord showed favor to you. And the Lord's with you. Here's the favor of the Lord, if the Lord's with you. There's going to be a day when He's going to... The Lord said concerning His people, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. David, envious of the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I was envious. I was foolish. And he said, I'm just religious for vain. And said, I'm just going to quit. And then he went into the sanctuary. And you know what he found out? He just filled his heart with joy. He said, I'm always with Him. I'm with the Lord. The Lord's with me. The hand of the Lord was with him. Isn't that what we want for our children and ourselves, isn't it? Oh, Lord, be with our sons and our daughters and our grandsons and granddaughters. Be with our spouse, Lord. Speak to our spouse. The hand of the Lord. Touch my child. Touch my spouse, my wife, my husband, my father, my mother, my neighbor. Lord, touch them. Wrestle with them. Lord, take hold of them like you did me, like you did Jacob. Would you wrestle them down and reveal yourself to them? Please, Lord, touch. Send the gospel, the hand of the gospel, your power, and touch their heart. The hand of the Lord is with them. Is that all that matters? It sure is. We've already gone through this, but John didn't live but 33 years. He didn't have a home, didn't have a wife, didn't have children. He wasn't a success in this world. Oh, the hand of the Lord was with him. You want your child to be somebody in this world. You want him to be somebody in the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
So Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 67. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. His son was too. From the womb. And he preached. Zechariah preached a brief message. Oh, what a message. I hope I can preach it. He prayed. He witnessed. Everybody heard this. There's a crowd of people around him. Says he was filled with the Holy Ghost. What is it to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, you hear so much about the Holy Ghost. Pentecostal free holiness church. Anything but free. And bondage. And it's anything but holy. What is it to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I've already said something about that. To be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, is to be filled with joy and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His salvation. That's it. Paul said, we're the circumcision. We're the true people of God. And these are the marks. We worship God in the Spirit. God's not worship of men's hand. You don't have, if you worship God in the Spirit, you don't have to have a big band. In fact, you won't get that out of here. You don't have to have all the stuff that religion needs. Somebody said the bigger, more empty the drum is, the louder the sound of the man. You don't have to have all that stuff. All you need is the Spirit of God, a man with a Bible. If God opened your heart, boy, you'll worship God from the Spirit. And rejoice, secondly. They rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ and Him crucified. The Spirit of God comes in the preaching of the gospel and takes the things of Christ and shows them to His people. And those that need Christ, those that need salvation, those that need forgiveness of sin, those that need a Savior, those that need a keeper, those sheep that need a shepherd, they say, preach it loud, brother. Any? Make your heart flutter a little bit? Oh, I hope I can make somebody, hope the Spirit of God makes somebody's heart flutter a little bit. For the first time, wouldn't that be something? Somebody for the first time, he's talking to me. It's to be filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. Truth. Oh, we live in a day full of lies, 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 and people love to have it so. Would somebody please tell me the truth? I'm here to tell you the truth. And His name is Jesus Christ. The truth! Everything He said is true. Everything about Him is the truth. The truth will make you free. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ takes the things of Christ and shows them to you. Shows sinners their need for a Savior. Shows helpless people their need for an absolute sovereign Lord on the throne. And He shows them. And they just, their hearts leap. John had the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, didn't he? That's amazing. Do you not find that amazing? There are very few instances throughout history of real young children having the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And what it was they knew Christ. They were taken up with Christ. They're not, it's not, the Spirit of God doesn't make you talk like a blooming idiot. He makes you talk about Christ. But John had the Spirit from his mother's womb. Alright? When he was still in his mother's womb. And Mary walked in, who was just conceived. Christ was in her womb. When Mary walked in, John was in his mother's belly and says, he leaped. A baby in the womb leaped. Elizabeth said, kick me hard. What's he doing? He's not leaping over Mary. He's leaping over Christ. He's not even born yet. He says, here he comes. Of whom the prophet spake. Of whom I'm waiting for. And my whole mission in life is to tell people about this one who's to come. He comes here. Any? He's here. That's what it is to be filled with the Spirit. It's to be filled with wonder and amazement at God's sovereign mercy and grace to you. It's to be filled with praise and glory for this glorious gospel of His dear Son. It's to be filled with gratitude, thanksgiving for so great a salvation. That's the Spirit of God. It's to be filled with wonder and amazement that He would love such a sinner as you, that He would come for such a sinner as you, that He would pay such a high price for someone so worthless as you. That's what the Spirit of God, He breaks your heart and then He mends it by showing you Christ came for the likes of you. That's a Spirit-filled person and message. John, Zechariah was filled with the Spirit and his son was filled with the Spirit. Maybe if we were more filled with the Spirit, maybe our children would feel the Spirit. You know that? You know, He gives the Spirit by measure. Right? Maybe if our conversation was in heaven, they'd hear it and maybe the Lord would do something. But no, if our conversation's on earth, if all we talk about, if all we do is complain about this and that and the other, find fault with the preacher, find fault with the church, find fault with the message, find fault, that's what they're going to do. But oh no, if we don't find any fault, but we find everything to be thankful for. This is a Spirit-filled person. Thank you, Lord, for preaching the gospel to me one more time. I didn't deserve it the first time. I don't deserve to hear it again. But here I am sitting with God's people, hearing this blessed word again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Child, honey, do you realize what a privilege this is? Let's sing. Oh, sing, honey. Maybe the Lord will open your heart. That's my heart's desire. That's my hope. That's my prayer for you more than anything on this earth, that you know Jesus Christ. If you have Him, you have it all. You know, we want the world for our children. No, we don't. We want to get the world out of them. They're born with the world, aren't they? We don't have to aspire them to this world. They have it in them. We're hoping the Lord will take it out of them. We're hoping the Lord will give them a desire for another world. Like those people in Hebrews 11. Embrace the truth. And say, we're strangers and pilgrims. Like Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasures of sin for a season. We want to show them the vanity of this life. We want to show them, these are not words, these are not vain words like Moses said in Deuteronomy. Oh, this is life. This is your life. This is your children's life. This is what John wanted for his child. This is what Zechariah wanted for his child. This is what Elizabeth wanted for her child. This is what they wanted for all the children of Israel. Their hope, their desire, their prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what? A good economy? No. Saved. All right, look at his message. It won't take long. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. If you're filled with the full of the Spirit, you'll bless God, the Lord God. That's what you'll call Him. Of Israel, sovereign God, electing God, merciful God. For He hath visited and redeemed His people. Bless God, He's visited us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And who am I? And what is my house that he would visit me? My. Don't ever get over this. That he would visit me. Has anybody you love and esteem highly come to pay you a visit? Called on you? There's none higher than Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. Thank you for visiting us. Would you stay with us? That's like those disciples in the last chapter of this book. We may never get to it. I hope we don't. I hope he comes to visit again real soon. If he's not staying, and neither are we. He's visited us and redeemed. Past tense. John, Zechariah is saying this is past tense. Yes. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate, whom he predestinated, he called, whom he called, he justified, whom he justified, he glorified. Known unto God all his work from the beginning of the world. When he spoke it, it was done. Dictum factum. Redeemed. Redeemed. There was a Savior before there was ever a sinner. Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Bless God. All is within me. Bless his holy name. Why? He forgiveth all thy iniquities. He's redeemed us from our transgression. Bless God. Verse 69. He's raised up the horn of salvation. Read on. For us in the house of David, serving his servant. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. That we should be saved from our enemies and the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our father, and to remember his holy covenant, his oath which he sware to Abraham. He grant us to be delivered out of the hands of our enemy, to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Bless God. Quite a good message. I don't mean to comment on that, but I'm going to. He says he's raised up a horn of salvation. A horn of salvation. You remember the story of Rahab? The harlot? Harlot. The Lord paid her a visit. The Lord sent an angel like he did these people. Two men with a message of destruction, warning, but salvation. You get in this house, Rahab. We'll put this scarlet line in the window. This token. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The house is the church. You get in that house with the people of God, with your people, and you stay in that house, and you don't leave that house. And we're coming. Joshua's coming. He's coming. Joshua's going to come. He's going to level Jericho. He doesn't love this place. He's going to level it. But Rahab, you stay in that house under that scarlet line, which means you, if you're under the gospel, if you believe this gospel where the blood is preached, you stay right there until the Lord comes. He's coming like Joshua. That's his name. Savior. God our Savior. He's coming. Well, lo and behold, one day. And she waited, and she waited, and she waited. How long? Doesn't matter. She's waiting. Every now and then, I believe she'd go look out that window. Is that line there? It's there. I believe. They promised. They said their life. They'd give my life, their life to me. One day, the trumpet sound. It was a ram's horn. They were sounding outside. One long blast of the ram horn. What was they playing? Middle sea. Joshua's coming. Oh, it was music to Rahab's ear. Oh, she may have been down and depressed that day. They have been worried about this and worried about that. When she heard that horn blow, she lifted up her head. You know what? Her redemption draws nigh. People of the world said, "We don't want to hear that. What is that noise?" She said, "Oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful?" And you know what? He came. He came for her and brought her out, leveled that place, like he said to the children in Exodus, in the home. And they took her all the way to Joshua, Bonnie. Joshua, harlot, Joshua. She's thinking, and it said in that passage in Judges, she's still there. That's what it said. What was I going to look at? Oh, we just sang. It says, "His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found." Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, on Christ the solid rock I stand. We're going to sing that again here in a minute. We're going to sing it again. And I hope we're really going to sing it. This is what Zechariah said. His oath, His covenant, His blood support us in this overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. That's a good hope. Brother Larry preached on it. A good hope. What is it? Through grace. It's in Christ. That's a good hope. All other ground sinking sand. So when that horn, that's what that horn represents. The blast of that ram's horn. He's coming. He's raised up a horn, house of David, to perform. Look at verse 71. "That we should be saved from our enemies and all them that hate us." Brethren, the God of this world, like a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. We're no match for him. We're no match for him. We need a Savior. We need a stronger than he, don't we? We can't stand before one of his assaults. Not one. Not one temptation. We cannot stand before one temptation of the serpent. Eve couldn't, and we can't either. We need a Savior. We need somebody. And to keep us all the days of our life, to present us faultless before the throne of His glory, we can't do it. He can, He will, He said He would. I'll never leave you. He said He's able to present us, and He will. He will, He won't let you go. Those that trust Him, He won't do it. He'll save us. You know, I hate myself. Satan hates God's people. They hate themselves. This old man in me, I hate him. The Lord's going to do something about him too. He's going to save us from him. No man is able to pluck you out of his hand. Not even that old man. Isn't that good news? Look at verse 72. He's going to perform. He come to perform mercy. Not offer it. Are you with me? I say that all the time. Why? Because I want you to be with me. Salvation is not an offer, it's a performance. Listen, David said, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. My soul trusteth in thee. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. He said, I'll cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. This thing of salvation is a marvelous, wonderful, glorious performance by the Lord Jesus Christ. Something He did, and you think of a performer. All right, you go someplace, and you got this celebrated whoever, whatever, violinist or vocalist or whatever, and they're up there. I was watching a bullfighter, a matador. There's nobody more proud than those fellas, is it? And they literally, you've seen them. And the crowd, every little, boy, aren't they brave? And the crowd just, ooh, oh, and adore them. They make millions of millions. Well, I watched this one fella, that bull. Dead as a hammer. No more pride. He's dead. And he ain't nobody. And now he's standing in front of God. No flesh, no glory in God's presence, but one man. This thing of salvation is a wonderful performance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. Scripture says when He had by Himself purged our sin. Like David went and defeated that giant by himself, cut off the head of the foe. And they said, David, this is David's victory. This is David's spoil. Well, this salvation is Jesus Christ's salvation. It's His spoil. It's His victory. He well deserves the praise. And when He was hanging on that cross, He said, it's finished. It's finished. He finished it. He finished the transgression. He put an end to sin by Himself, by Himself. And it says He bowed His head. And God's people give Him a what a performance. What a performance. He did for me. This is no vain, empty show. This is redemption. What a performance. Unto Him that performeth all things for me, for us. My. Well, look on. It says here, verse 72, to remember His holy covenant, His oath, which He sware to our father, Abraham. You remember the message, what we can't remember, God can't forget. And what we can't forget, God can't remember. You remember that? For what it's worth, look it up again. It's good. And what that story was all about was Psalm 106 and 7. We can't remember His oath, His covenant, we forget God. It says they forget God. They forget God. How many days, how many hours do you go by without giving God a thought? If He went 1 second without giving you a thought, you're gone. You're gone. He said, I'll never forget you. What you can't remember, He can't forget. His oath, His covenant. Then you get down, you get doubtful, you get full of fears and worries about your soul and all that, but no, He remembers His covenant. He said, I remember. He remembers what Christ did. Oh yeah. And then what we can't forget, our sin. Like David said, my sin is ever before me. Paul never could get out of his mind's eye Stephen being stoned, that all those people that he hailed it to jail, he could never get over that. That's why I said I'm the chief of sinners. But God doesn't remember. Doesn't remember. He remembers His oath, His covenants. He'll never forget it. Never forget it. Verse 74, that He would grant, the grant unto us to be delivered. A grant, people, is something given to poor and needy people, isn't it? One of our young girls years ago, the family was not able to send her to school, and she asked me to write a
recommendation to those on the board to give this government grant. And I did. I wrote a glowing report and I commended her and to them. And I was, as it were, I was her intercessor. Well, she got the grant. They granted her this large sum of money. Was it because of my intercession? Well, I'd like to think so, but the Lord did it. Well, this is a grant for the poor and needy that comes through the intercession of one, that comes through the recommendation of one. And he doesn't recommend our goodness, not, oh, she's worth it, or she's good. No, she's a sinner, but I have her. Would you grant him or her thy salvation? You know what God will do? Every time. Blank check. Oh, yes. Grant her full pardon. A full, free, unconditional, eternal pardon. Isn't that one? Provisions, all things, all for all time. A full ride to glory. You get a full ride to glory. Grant us to be delivered from sin, Satan, the world. Read on. It says that in holiness and righteousness before Him, verse 74, I need to read this, that we may be delivered out of the hand of our enemies that we might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. See, we need to be delivered from the world, which we're captive to. We need to be delivered from sin, which we're in bondage to. We need to be delivered from self, whom we serve all the days of our life. We serve ourselves. We serve sin. We serve our lust and passion. No, we need to be delivered from that to serve Him. Just finally, to serve Him who loved us and washed us from our sin. When Moses came before Pharaoh, God told him to tell him this, let my people go, that we may go out and serve Him. I was going to read to you Luke, Psalm 85, but it sounds just like Zechariah. Read it for yourself at home sometime. It talks about He's forgiven the iniquity of His people. He's shown mercy unto us, and been favorable unto the land, brought us out of captivity. Because this is the message. All right. Was Zechariah holding that child in his? He was holding that baby boy in his hand. You know what? He was holding that baby in his hand, and he hadn't mentioned him yet. He's holding that son, John, and he doesn't call him son. He didn't call him his son. But he's holding that child in his hand this whole time. What's he talking about? Talking about the Lord. Talking about so great salvation. Talking about redemption. Talking about God's mercy. He hadn't even mentioned the child yet. Because this is greater than this. Much greater. To this end, was this more? This is subservient to that. So was Zechariah's will and desire was subservient to that. He hadn't mentioned his child yet. Now he does. Look at the next verse. Verse 76. And thou, child. Not my son, this boy of mine. What a good boy he is. He'll be a fine. No, thou, child. You see, unto him a child is born. The Son, His Son of God is given. And He'll be called the Prophet of the Highest. He'll go before the face of the Lord to prepare His way. That's what Zechariah wants for this child. To give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sin. That's what he wants. God gave him this child, and what he wants is this son to give knowledge of salvation to people. That the Lord would use this son, this child, to give knowledge of salvation to others. The Lord gave him to me. Oh, may he give glory to the Lord who gave him. Isn't that our desire for our children? Is there any other desire?
Really? I brought up Hannah. Hannah didn't even mention Samuel. She said, "My heart rejoiceth in God my Savior." She said, here's what she said, "My horn is exalted." Is that what we want? To give knowledge of salvation to the people by remission of their sin. This is for the remission of sin. This is Christ who came. This is what they need. That's what everyone needs more than anything. Let the economy go. Let this nation fail. But, don't let Christ fail to save us. He won't. Shall not fail. In verse 78, he says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring," that's Christ, "from on high," he's quoting Malachi, "hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness, the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." Oh, what mercy, what grace. God has given us a child, and this child is going to be a prophet of the highest. You know, you can substitute all this for Christ here. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. He's not going to go before the face of the Lord. He is the Lord. He's not going to prepare the way. He is the way. He's not going to give knowledge. He is knowledge. He is salvation. He is the remission of sin. He is the mercy of God. He is the day spring. He is the light. He is our peace. And the child grew. How did the child grow? Boy, he's bigger and stronger than any boy on the block. He grew in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Spirit. And the Lord was with him. Isn't that what we want? Is that what you want for your children? Is it? I'll give you an illustration in closing. I'm going to quote it exactly. There was a missionary named William Carey in the 18th century. He's often called the father of modern missions, but he was a missionary to India. He had a son named Felix. The son ended up breaking his heart. He ended up being in everything, drugs and you name it. But he had hoped that the Lord would save this son and he would join him on the mission field. But at one time in his early adult life, Felix was a pretty upstanding young man. And the King of England appointed him ambassador to Burma. An ambassador of the then greatest country, kingdom on earth. The King of England appointed him ambassador to Burma. William Carey, his father, a missionary, preacher of the gospel, said this. He said, "My son has chosen to be an ambassador of the King of England, when he could have risen to the status of being an ambassador of the King of Kings. He's come down. He's lowered himself." What would you want for your son? Huh? Wouldn't it be wonderful if, Ricky, I asked about Andrew, if the Lord saved that, that what you want for him more than anything else? Lord reveal himself to you. What if he grew in wisdom and stature and the fear of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord is with him? Isn't that what you want? Alright? He knows the Lord and the Lord fills him with his Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills him with zeal for this gospel. He said, "Daddy, I gotta preach this gospel. Daddy, I gotta get out there and tell somebody." Would that make you happy? What if he married one of these young ladies like, I'm gonna scare anybody. You gotta marry somebody then. What if it's Daisy? Abby? That'd be alright. It really will. It'd be wonderful. And you know the Lord. And he knows the Lord. And you become a servant to the cause of Jesus Christ. Like my wife is for me. A servant of your husband, a preacher of the gospel. No higher calling on earth than a servant of Christ, of his kingdom, his servant of a husband. A witness to the children of the Lord who gave himself and served you. There's no higher calling given to a woman. Whatever. No. My daughter is now servant of a preacher of the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Andrew become the next pastor of this church. Can we lift up our hearts and ask Him to do that? He hears prayer. This is what we want for our children, people. That's so, isn't it? You old folks. Life's gone by fast. What does anything matter but this? All right, let's sing that. 272. 272. My hope is built. 272 on nothing more. Jesus Christ. On Christ's solid rock. Let's sing the first, third, and fourth verses, okay? First, third, and fourth verses. 272. Stand and sing.
Thank you.